Hello, guys. Welcome to another sportscast. Today is February 6, 2018. We're still discussing our Super Bowl recap, and we have Ryan Krista on the line. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Hey, Santiago. Nice talking to you again.
So tell me, what you thought about the Super Bowl?
It was different than I thought. You know, I knew both offenses. Not this many points, and I didn't think it would be so wide open. It kind of reminded me of Saturday afternoon watching college football, you know, spread offenses, you know, up-tempo, you know, just a lot of plays. I mean, it was an exciting game to watch because usually the Super Bowl teams play close to the vest. It was refreshing to see, especially the Eagles, not play to lose, but play to win, especially you can tell by the way they went for the trick play, especially at the end of the half. It was just a fun game to watch, you know, and Tom Brady throws for 500 yards, no picks, just one turnover and he loses. It was just a fun Sunday night.
It was a high-scoring match, and you're right, it was very college football-esque, not much punting either.
No, I don't think the Patriots punted one time.
Yeah, it's incredible how... you know how the Eagles went. They went on fourth down, which was a key play of the game.
Yeah, you know that was in. You know, I was watching the game and I told myself, just punt the ball. You got time. You can give the team to make a play, but that's why Doug Peterson makes the big bucks, I guess. You know, make big boy play calls. You know, like I said, he coached to win the game, not to lose the game.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Santiago.
There was two controversial. Go ahead, Ryan.
The other key that I thought in the game were, you know, a couple of times in the first half, you know, the kicking trouble, especially with Gostkowski. Well, I think is maybe the best, one of the best kickers in the league, maybe one of the best kickers of all time, struggling so much, you know, basically it's like, what, 4 points off the board? Those 4 points could have been. Key in the game, and those are almost like turnovers. You know, when you drive so far, you don't get points. Those are big turning points in the game.
I believe the place kicker was the fault of that.
The field goal early on in the game, it was a bad snap. And kickers are creatures of habit. They don't like to be thrown off their rhythm. And he had to wait about, you know, a half a second. You know, he could never get his footing right, and the ball just tailed off and hit the crossbar. No, you know, that's kicks that almost, you know, that distance, especially in the NFL, that you basically put the points on before the play even happens.
Now, there were two controversial plays that happened on the game. Let's go for the first one. The Corey Clement catch, was that a touchdown or not?
First, I'd like to say that was one heck of a throw, right?
It was.
They both said it between three people. The catch, it's all up to interpretation. You know, I saw it as a catch because I thought he had control and when he initially caught it and then he was able to get the 2 feet down. Well, some people, you know, thought he was still juggling it as he... if he was going out of bounds and wasn't able to get both feet down, it's a matter of opinion. They called it a touchdown on the field, so there wasn't enough to overturn it. If they called it incomplete, they probably would have stayed incomplete. It's kind of a matter of, you know, your preference. If you wanted the Patriots to win, it was a bad call. If it was, you know, as a neutral fan, I thought it was the right call.
Yeah, his left foot... I thought step out of bound. I think he didn't have full control. You think that left foot was the issue?
It was. You know, it's a matter of, I thought he initially, when he caught the ball, when the ball hit his hands, I thought he had enough control of it to consider it a catch. But then, you know, a matter of opinion, you know, was he still juggling it after, you know, when he regained possession of it, fully, you know, his left foot did go up. But I don't think he lost enough of control to consider it incomplete. You know, the refs, that's kind of the way the refs perceived it, I believe, that he didn't lose enough of the control of the ball to have to redo his feet.
Now, the second controversial play was the Zach Ertz catch where he bobbled it and then came into the end zone and just, you know, had control. And I mean, I thought it was a touchdown. I thought once the ball crosses over the touchdown line, it is a touchdown.
Was it Groundhog Day or what? Because I felt like we just talked about this only a couple weeks ago in the sports world. You know, it brings it back to that, you know, that's the main afternoon game between the Patriots and Steelers where Jesse James catches the ball almost identically to that, catches it, tries to reach the ball a little bit for a touchdown, the ball comes out. Referees say he never had enough control because they consider him still a receiver of the ball until he hits the ground. In this case, I think Eric caught the ball, ran 6 yards, dove. I think that was the right call because he proved to me enough he wasn't just a receiver, he was the runner of the ball. What the referees are looking for is that when he dove, is he being hit by the player? Or is he diving in his own free will? Because if he's saying he's still receiving the ball and McCourty hits him, then he's still considered a receiver of the ball. In that terms that he's, you know, hasn't fully got the ball yet, and once the ball hits the ground, it's incomplete. The referee says, you know, he caught the ball, made a football move, and dove for the end zone. So therefore, it's touchdown. Again, I think as they call it, incomplete on the field, it would have stayed incomplete. Because there wasn't enough evidence one way or the other. Just it was kind of those 50-50 calls. You got to trust the judgment of the referees.
Now, they say they're going to remove the no-catch, the catch-no-catch rule. You think that could resolve these type of issues?
It would, but I think, you know, who are the best sports talk writers or sports hosts, whatever, because it's going to give them something to talk about. But as a fan, it drives us crazy because I can watch a game, you know, watch two identical plays this year, and one we call the catch and one call the non-catch. There's just so much gray area in the rule book, you know. You go back to, you know, the Dez Bryant catch in the playoffs a couple of years ago, or a lack of catch that referees called against the Packers. You know, there's no clear way of defining a catch, and that just kind of drives everybody crazy. We, as sports or football fans, we just want to know what's a catch. Roger, let us know what is a catch.
Now, if these two plays ran in college football, like how would college football rule this?
They would both be considered catches. There's not, you know, there's not, it's once you have possession to make a football move, they consider you automatically a runner. And you don't have to come to the ground. As they say, come to the ground with the ball. And that kind of drives me crazy that, you know, a guy to catch the ball, keep his feet in the bounds, be pushed, and 20 yards out of bounds, the ball flips out. And he hits the ground, and that's incomplete. You know, in college, that's a catch. It's a lot more simpler.
Now, there's been talks about why was Malcolm Butler left off the roster. Do you think he made a difference not being in the game?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The guy plays 98% of the plays in the season, and then all of a sudden you're throwing a guy who's not a regular out there playing against high quality receiver and quarterback playing top, playing a great game, definitely made a difference. Why he wasn't playing, we don't know. You know, they're going to say it's because of a game plan which doesn't make any sense because if a guy plays the most plays on your team in the most critical game of the season he's not playing, it has to be a discipline issue.
Yeah, I was reading that he violated a team code. I think he had a girl sleep over his hotel room or something. And I think he was battling injuries, but it wasn't, like, major. I mean, he could have played anyways.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's battling injuries. It's, you know, they've been playing a whole season of football. No one's 100%. You know, and he played it, you know, he practiced all week. He played every snap against the Jaguars. It was definitely a team rule that he broke, that's for sure. It would have made a difference in the outcome of the game. I think, you know, I'm not going to say the Eagles wouldn't have won, but it would have been a lot harder, that's for sure. They basically had to switch around the coverage. You know, they had to put Gilmore all every down on Jeffries, and that's going to allow Zach Ertz, you know, the regular, to go against, you know, second-tier coverage.
Also, the absence of Brandon Cooks when he got injured early, that also affected the Patriots.
I think it had an effect, but, you know, the way didn't really start the Patriots in the second half, you know, all but the, you know, they scored that touchdowns in the first three possessions of the second half. So I don't know if that had any as much to do. The Patriots, the Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels are masters of making adjustments. If they're able to get Gronk the ball in the second half. First half, they only have one catch for 9 yards. Second half, the Eagles have no answer for him.
Now, there's been rumors about retirement, you know, Gronk, Belichick, and Brady. Do you think any of those three could retire this summer?
I don't think any of them will. It's a long season. It's just kind of a heartbreaking game. You know, you're going to be a little bit more. You're going to say some things that, you know, probably aren't going to be true, you know, a couple weeks down the road, a couple months down the road. It's a violent game. You know, everybody has the right to step away whenever they want. You know, all those players have been well compensated and have probably enough money to live the rest of their lives. Belichick, what more can he accomplish? He's got 5 Super Bowls. Brady's got 5 Super Bowls. You never say never, but I just don't think they would ever leave with a bitter taste in their mouth after this game. I would say they're more apt to retire if they won the Super Bowl than after losing a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, a lot will happen next year. I think it's do or die next year for Brady. And then if Brady goes out, I think Belichick will follow him as well.
Yeah, you know, a couple of weeks ago there was a big story on ESPN saying that there's a lot of disagreement between Brady and Belichick and Robert Kraft about how they dealt with the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. You know, Belichick wanted to keep him. Brady, you know, didn't want him looking over his shoulder. What really happened, I don't know. Was there really that big disagreement? You know, people are saying yes, but we really don't know because we really weren't there. So it's all hearsay.
And we'll never know because they keep things very tight-lipped. They're one of the best. And
yes, it's Florida Foxborough over there at, you know, Gillette Stadium. No, no
yeah.
One knows what really goes on. And that's really what makes them great because all we can really say is skepticism that we get from the journalists in Boston. But they really don't know because they're not privy to go, you know, get the inside information. And that's just the mystique of the Patriots and probably why we know there's this anti-Patriots sentiment because there's really just this, you know, we really don't know what makes the Patriots so good because everything's kept locked and key over there.
Also, have you ever seen the Facebook special on Time versus Tom? And
I have not yet. It's something I probably got to check out in the off season.
You see a lot of behind the scenes stuff that I'm surprised that they were able to show. You see Tom Brady, like, you know, calling Belichick on the phone. Hey, how about this play? This play looks bad. And then he talks to his coordinator. There's a lot of, I mean, Brady has a lot of power. You would be surprised.
Oh, no doubt. You know, he's earned the right to have some power. You know, he's the face of the franchise. He's single-handedly almost won them multiple Super Bowls, you know, or put them in a position every year to win the Super Bowl. And I'm not always, you know, big on players, you know, running organizations, but Tom Brady definitely has a right to, you know, privy to inside information before things get out, that's for sure.
He'll still be the GOAT, no matter what happened this past weekend.
Whether you like him or not, he is the GOAT, Santiago.
Have you heard of anything on the Kirk Cousins situation?
Nothing yet. You know, give it some time. You know, the league year officially starts in March, and you'll see some movement. What the only thing I'm hearing is, you know, the chances are higher right now. The Redskins will franchise Kirk Cousins again, so they can actually trade him. The only problem is that would make him an extremely highly paid player if they franchise him, and not every organization is going to want to take on that huge salary.
I'm hearing the Jets can afford him.
They can afford him, and honestly, you know, Santiago, they get Kirk Cousins, and that's the Kirk Cousins that, you know, we've seen the last couple of years. The Jets will be a very formidable team in the AFC. They got a great defense. You know, they're going to have to put some better wide receivers out on the field, but, you know, they can make that their free agency in the draft, and I think they can be extremely competitive.
Yeah, it'll probably make the AFC East more interesting than before, but, well, that's all the time we have. Thanks a lot, Ryan, for coming on the Sportscast.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Santiago. Have a good day.